And I'm Abby Byron Goslin.
This is Casual Conversations with...
It's Catholic, y'all.
Today we're going to be talking about consolation, desolation, and a little bit of peace.
It's Catholic, y'all.
It's Catholic, y'all.
It's Catholic, y'all.
Welcome to It's Catholic, Y'all, a podcast series from the Catholic Diocese of Savannah. The Diocese of Savannah covers 90 counties in South Georgia, whose total population is less than 3% Catholic. Stories of life, love, and faith across cultures, traditions, and geography. It's Catholic, y'all.
Yeah, just, you know, it's so beautiful how God is just so powerful. Like just to be able to pray like that. Like, it's to come into this room right now and just try to record and just feel this heaviness, the heaviness from like this last week, from stuff that's been going on and kind of what's been going on in our hearts. And then just to pray, to ask for deliverance, to ask, you know, that anything that is not of God to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ and to be cast away, cast to the foot of the cross, to let him deal with it how he wants to deal with it. And gosh, it was just this beauty, this peace that just kind of, I just felt more free. Like, I felt more myself.
I just felt relieved and able to just rest.
Yeah.
Which I haven't felt like I've been able to do all week. So that was good.
It's like the power of prayer. I mean, like, just to be able just to let go. And it's not just, it's not like a mind exercise, you know, like think happy thoughts, you know, Peter Pan. but it's leaning into, it's relying on just the power, the authority of Christ that is in us, and just letting God be God, taking authority in that, you know, being confident in that, and just letting him cleanse time and place, to cleanse us, his sons and his daughters, the father's sons and daughters. Yeah, there was just such a beauty, such a peace that came from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just stepping back into who he's made us to be and out of, like, all of the things that we've had to be, like, wading through, you know, and just stepping up out of that. I'm thinking about a picture that I saw once that, you know, it was like Jesus on top of just all of this stuff, like on top of the oppression and the shame and the infirmity and any of the other types of things that just weigh us down and keep us burdened, you know, and he has lifted up his little one, his child, you know, above all of this stuff. And they're just standing on top of like this trash heap of all these burdens, you know, as the resurrected Lord, like standing in victory, but inviting us into that as well.
Yeah. It's kind of the way you said that, like stepping into our identity. It's like stepping into it, like falling back into it, leaning into it. Like there's almost like a necessity to peel away all the gunk that has just kind of attached itself. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize it's there. Like, we just figure out, oh, this is life. Oh, like, it's just the interaction. It's just my burden. You know, and then to be able to pray, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, like, I just feel better. Like,
this is what life feels like.
You know,
like,
so this is human, like, yeah. This experience here, you know, to be both physical and spiritual at the same time, where things are just a little bit more in harmony when you, like, come back to that reality.
I think sometimes we think that our feelings are not important. And in some degree, like, that's true, and that we're not how we feel. Like, we've talked about that before. But Ignatius of Loyola has kind of given us this really great way of paying attention to these feelings and doing so in a way that helps bring about greater order to them, and helps us become more aware of them so that we become aware of the disordered feelings or the things that are not of God and can actually start coming back to God in and through that.
Are we doing this? Are we going to talk about consolation, desolation?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Yes. So, okay, so we're going to talk about it. So, consolation, desolation. You know what? Okay. So one of the things that I've kind of been seeing in my like everyday experience. Oh no. Okay. Hold on. Rewind. Play. So one thing that I've been experiencing in my priesthood, in ministry, when I'm interacting with people, adults and young people, like teens, is that they don't understand what's actually going on in prayer. Like they think they know what prayer is, but they really don't. At no fault of their own. Like I didn't really know. Like I had to learn and grow into it, and you know, figure things out little by little. And it's almost like we have in our head just this idea of what prayer is supposed to be like. And we hear all these stories of all these saints, you know, they have these like mystical experiences and, you know, they're seeing God or they're seeing these angels or the saints are visiting them or they're levitating off the ground or they're getting the stigmata. And it's like, this is what prayer is supposed to be. And if I only pray enough, like I will feel the warm fuzzies, you know, like it will happen. And yet that's not the everyday experience of prayer. And, you know, and everyone is created differently. And so their souls are all disposed differently. They're all struggling with different things. They're all open to God's grace differently. They respond differently. And so I'm talking to young people and they're so focused on consolation. The warm fuzzies, if you will. We'll get into that right now real quick. But let me just say, like, they're so focused on consolation that when they're not experiencing anything in prayer, they think that something is wrong with them. They think something's wrong with them. They think that God doesn't love them or it was just a phase and, you know, well, okay, so it's not for them. And when I listen to that, I'm all like, no, like, that's called desolation and there's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what? And then I have to like break it down. I have to break down what consolation is and then break down what desolation is. And then once I like let them know that and then where to go from there, all of a sudden they're just like, oh my gosh, like it, you give them these tools, these young people, and not just young people, like adults as well. And they begin to realize, oh my gosh, they're like, so there's a manual, if you will, to the spiritual life.
Yeah, absolutely.
How would you, so why don't you go ahead and, okay, let's talk about consolation. Go for it. What can you tell me about consolation, Abby?
What can I tell you about consolation? It's awesome.
I know.
Consolation, like that, I mean, that includes things as, I guess, dramatic as like receiving the stigmata. But something as also something as simple as like everyday beauties in our lives. Consolation, I would say, is anything that like moves our heart upward, brings us back to a place of joy or a place of delight. And I think the Lord most frequently uses the transcendentals to do that, either goodness, truth, or beauty. So it might be somebody speaking truth into our lives, and the words that they say are just like exactly what you needed to hear, you know, and that can be a form of consolation. It might be someone just being good to you and caring for you and serving you, you know, or somebody thinking about you and giving you a gift that, you know, makes you feel good or that you can tell like that they know you. Those are types of consolations. And then beauty, like going for a walk in nature and getting to see like a really beautiful butterfly or a deer or something like that can be a consolation. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's important too to talk about how there's spiritual consolation and there's non-spiritual consolation. Same way that there's spiritual desolation and non-spiritual desolation. And what this means is like for some people, a non-spiritual consolation would be like getting to have an ice cream sundae and eating a giant pizza. Like, however, that could quickly lead to a non-spiritual desolation if your body doesn't necessarily agree with your choice.
What are you doing
in food? So like food could be a non-spiritual consolation that people turn to, but it could become a desolation if it's misused and abused. Mm-hmm. And like I'm trying to think of another natural consolation type of a thing. Reading a good book or going to see a movie or spending time with friends.
Nature.
Nature.
When you see like those mountains or when you look up into the stars mm-hmm. and you're just kind of caught in that like moment of awe and wonder.
Yeah, and that can start natural but become supernatural pretty quick because mm-hmm. the moment that nature moves us to a point of like prayer or dialogue with God, that then becomes a spiritual consolation, not just a non-spiritual consolation.
Okay.
The same way with like hanging out with friends, like sure, if you're just hanging out, but the moment that like that conversation like shifts to building each other up or caring for each other in some way, it can shift into a spiritual consolation.
I was just kind of thinking about like even like my godson. Okay. Yeah. So get this, my godson recently. I love his name. I'm going to go ahead and say his name. You guys are going to freak out because it's like it's such an intense name.
Epic.
His name is Bembry Bloodworth Story. Bembry Bloodworth Story.
Like, of all the things you could have just said, that was not what I saw coming. Wow. That is a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
I gotta say, it sounds like an epic like storybook character.
Oh my
or something.
Gosh. It's like a count or something.
Man, what is that kid's life gonna be like? That's gonna be interesting.
So his dad, you know, his story, but in his father's side, I think if I recall correctly, Bembry is a last name of
wow.
someone there. And then on his Bembry's mother's side, his grandmother, God rest her soul, who recently passed away, her maiden name was Bloodworth. Or yeah, there's something like that.
That's
so
cool.
they
took
a
richness and a meaning.
Yeah,
there.
There's a lot that's there. And so I love him. So
that's
what
cool.
I was gonna say is that when we're talking about like the natural that kind of leads to kind of a spiritual consolation, there was something about Bembry, just having him and just babies in general. Like there's almost like this tenderness when you begin to hold a child, a mm-hmm. baby, and all of a sudden there's this movement of your heart and you're just like enraptured in this love for this child, but it's almost exuding that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like even
it's the awe factor.
Yeah, there's something that's there. Yeah, so other ways I would explain consolation to young people. So I would use kind of, you know, nature. Talk about like the mountains because when we were I was at the camp, summer camp with Life Teen up in Dahlonega, Georgia, we went ziplining, and so we were up in like these mountain ranges up there. And like we were at this hotel, got it, you know, check in, and there was like this lookout point, and you just saw all these mountains, and like this valley, and without a doubt, like every teen that went out there, like yeah, they were interacting with their other friends, but like they would look out, and all of a sudden they just would just stop, and they just kind of look, and they all just got quiet, they just kind of took it in. Just to see like these ranges, and you kind of see these clouds slowly coming in. It's warm outside, but there's this little breeze, and there's something about them that just stopped. You know, consolation is that experience of awe, of wonder, of that peace. I mentioned peace whenever I talk about consolation with mm-hmm. with young people. You know, sometimes it feels like your foot is in the right place. Everything feels good. You're set. It's the warm fuzzies. Consolation is the warm fuzzies. It's the, you know, hearing things, visions, if you will. You know, people might be, when they're praying the rosary, they might have an experience, this movement of their heart, or they're in praise and worship and adoration. And there's just something that you just kind of feel really moved and you're just like excited, this joy that's there, that's welling up. That would be just consolation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so then from there, then a lot of times the young people, especially when I'm going helping out with these retreats and stuff, they're just so distraught because they see the other teens experiencing consolation in prayer, and they're just like, why do I not experience that? Like, what's wrong with me? Like, am I broken? Like, I'm trying. I've been trying to pray. Like, I raise my hands or, like, I pray the rosary. Like, I'm trying to go deep and I don't experience anything. And they're just, like, crying. They're bawling. And then I have to be like, okay, so I'm going to start asking you a couple questions. And I start asking them things that I begin to identify with desolation. I'm just like, okay, do you feel like when you're praying – that you're talking to a brick wall, Do you feel like you're alone in a room? Do you feel like it's like a dark room and like you're reaching out to God and God almost seems to have his arms crossed and he's kind of just, and it feels like he's saying you're not trying hard enough. Are you thirsty? Does it feel dry? Do you feel like you're in a desert? You know, do you feel like you're just like everything you do is just not good enough in prayer? You know, like I just begin to kind of just really go into like this experience of just this yearning, this longing, and it almost seems not to be satiated enough. And like without skipping a beat, you know, the teen, the young person, and even the adult would just be like, yeah, like that's, I don't feel any of that. It feels like I'm talking to a brick wall. It feels like there's nothing going on. You know, and like I go deeper and we try to dialogue a little bit what their experience is about that. And then I'll just be like, okay, so what you are experiencing is what is known as desolation. Mm-hmm. And I'm all like, and just to let you know, desolation is spiritually normal. And they're like looking at me like, what? Are you serious? You know, some of them have these tears, or if it was like a long conversation with someone, they're just kind of in this awe of like, what are you saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I'll just say like the greatest of saints experience desolation. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing wrong with desolation. Like Mother Teresa, like her whole life experienced desolation. No, yeah. They've been like books or like.
Wasn't her whole life.
Okay. I'm graduating.
But just so, to clarify, okay, God does okay. not create us to be a desolation.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, she experienced desolation throughout her life.
There we go.
But I'd be like, and I remember hearing the story of a saint, a mystic out in Spain, and for like 13 years of his life. You know, he would always journal after his time of prayer. And one of the words that kept coming up in his journal entry was the word nada, nothing, you know?
Wow.
And I'm just letting them know, like, what you are experiencing is something normal. Like, different people experience it for different amounts of time. Like, some people for, might be a day, for a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months, for certain souls, a couple years. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's normal, and there's nothing wrong with you when you experience that.
Yeah, in fact, like, God loves you even more in those places of suffering and struggling. And the devil would like to convince us that in those times of, like, distance or darkness or desolation that, you know, God has somehow forgotten about us or that God doesn't love us, and that that's why that's happening. Or even worse, he'll try to convince us that, like, it's our fault that why we're in that place of desolation. And now sometimes, not to say that it's our fault, but sometimes we have chosen to do things in our lives that have led to a desolation.
Right.
You know, if we're in chronic sin and we're unrepentant of that,
yep,
that can absolutely bring about a spiritual oppression and desolation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, like, God is allowing us to experience that to call us back to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that we realize that something is missing and that we need him again, so that we will turn to him, you know, for freedom and for forgiveness that.
And that's one thing I'm talking to people. It's like when we establish that there's been desolation, it's just, then I ask them, when was the last time you went to confession?
Ah, good question.
You know, like, that's always like something it needs to be asked, because our sin does bring about desolation. Now, if you've been going to confession, then, okay, let's begin talking about something else. You know, what is your prayer life like? What are you doing?
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, some of then what do I do? When I begin to see that, you know, it is desolation, they're experiencing that, like, I let them know that that whatever comes from God comes with his peace, and that it is still possible to be in desolation and yet to have this sense of peace of God's presence that is still there. But now the thing is that as an adult, we for the most part know what peace is like. We get that. A young person has no idea what peace is. And they might have an inkling of it because they keep hearing it in talks. But you have to almost like paint it for them, like walk them through it of what that experience is like. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'll kind of go back to like those moments of consolation to draw out those moments of peace. So I'll talk about, you know, have you ever been out in nature? And again, I go back to nature first. And when you look at those stars, when you look at the woods, when you just see this beauty that all of a sudden you're just kind of there and you're just caught in this awe and you're just like, whoa. And I say like, and you know that moment where you just kind of just stop? Like you just don't have to say anything. Like you just don't, you're just there in that quiet. Like everything just feels okay. Like it's set in place. Everything is quiet. Everything is calm. Everything just feels right. Like those are the words I have to use. And they just, they're like, yeah, I know that feeling. And then I say, okay, that is peace. Those moments when you're in nature, or like sometimes have you ever just been by yourself and you just, it just comes to you and you just, no one has to say anything. It just feels okay. Like, yeah, I'm like, that is peace. And then I say, whatever comes from God comes with his peace. And so mm-hmm. what we're experiencing is his presence, is his affirmation, is like that he is there. Our soul is getting a glimpse of God. When we begin to encounter that awe, that wonder, that peace. And then I'll say, so you have experienced God. Maybe not in worship or in prayer like other people have, but you are experiencing him differently. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. And when I begin to let them know that they do experience God, all of a sudden they're like, their eyes just open up like, so there's nothing wrong with me. I'm like, no, like... Mm-hmm. Like you, your soul is meant for God. Your soul knows where God can be found. Now, whether or not you know it in your mind, you know, if we need to teach you, like that's a different thing. And just kind of pulling them and letting them understand that. And then once I give them that little information, that footing, then I'm able to then kind of develop a little bit more on, okay, where do we go from here, you know?
The story that comes to mind for me when you were just sharing that is, I guess it was probably like 5 or 6 years ago, and I was on I was helping at a youth retreat up at Cove Crest, actually. And one of the teens that was there was just in total just despair about not having any kind of experience and feeling like God had forgotten him mm-hmm. and that God didn't see him. Those were the key things that he like was feeling. It was like, God doesn't see me and God has forgotten me. And then, but he didn't give up. Like throughout the whole weekend, like he kept praying, he kept pressing in, he kept choosing God, like over the turmoil, over the despair. Like, yeah. I mean, he could have just given up and been like, you know, well, you know, God's forgotten me. God doesn't see me. Mm-hmm. There's no point in me being here, you know, and just disengaged from like the whole thing. But instead of turning away, he pressed in, and in pressing in, it wasn't until the very last night of the retreat, but he happened to be walking outside at night down to the chapel. And as he was going down there, he stopped to pause and look at the stars. And I have no idea why, because this is not a normal occurrence. But when he looked up at the sky, the stars were in the configuration of an eye. Oh. Like the way the clouds were, they were blocking other stars. And so it literally just showed a massive eye in the sky.
Like the letter I or an eyeball?
Like an eyeball.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like a giant eye in the sky staring at this kid in the middle of the mountains of Georgia. Like,
whoa.
Yeah, so he literally like stopped in his place and started bawling because he was like, God sees me. Like, God sees me. Like, because he literally saw this giant eye in the sky.
Oh my gosh.
And like other people saw it too. So like, it wasn't just cuckoo. But so like, okay, but here's the thing. Like, if he had given up, he would have not been able to see. Like, if he had just stared at the ground, you know, and just given up and just been in total, like, despondence, he never would have seen what God had for him.
Yeah.
The key was he had to look up, right?
Yeah.
And look back to God.
Yeah.
And in doing that, in, like, that posture of choosing to look up, choosing to choose that upward movement,
yeah.
like, physically, like, it brought him to a spiritual one as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's important with desolation too, is like when we are in desolation, there are certain things that we can do to help bring us out of that. Like, it's not something that we necessarily have to just accept and stay in. My friend Bill Donaghy actually created these really cool, he calls them theographies, and basically they're sketches about different theological lessons or teachings. And so one of the ones that he created was anti-desolation, like arrows, basically like how to fight back, like against desolation. And so he drew this like little sketch of like a guy, and like he's in desolation, like he has the shades of desolation on. Like anytime somebody's in desolation, he shows it visually by putting glasses on them. So like they have the shades of desolation. Mm-hmm. So because the thing about desolation is that it casts a shadow on the past and it casts a shadow on the future. And so like it affects like everything, because like you are kind of in that darkness. You think you've always been in that desolation. Like, that's one of the things that comes at you. Like, you forget the times of consolation that might have been there before. And you think you're always going to be in it because it casts a shadow on the future.
Yeah.
And so when you take those shades off, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I remember those times of consolation that I had. And yeah, no, I'm not going to always be in this. But when you're in it, it feels like it's always been that way and it's always going to be that way.
Yeah.
And so these anti-desolation arrows, some of the things are like really simple, like a song, like a particular song that you know really speaks to your heart and that uplifts your heart, you know, like having that on standby. So when you have those moments of like, of desolation that start creeping in, you know, you can play that song and maybe it will help bring you back out of it. Favorite scripture passage. That's another one. You know, having that go-to prayer, whatever it may be, having the friend that you can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, like, this is where I'm at right now. All of these things can be kind of anti-desolation errors or arrows that can help you fight back against it.
Okay. So, like, I remember, like, as a young person, and I really, it was definitely the Holy Spirit, like, teaching me, because I remember going through desolation. And yet, because of the experiences I was having with my youth group and the retreats we're going to, I would always be like, wow, I don't feel God anymore. But I remember this did happen in my prayer. Like, this was my experience in adoration. This was what he told me. This is what I, you know, read in scripture. Yeah, and like, I would just hold on to that. And I'd have to, in like a very definite way, say, like, that did happen. And so, okay, this is what I'm going through, but that doesn't discount what I experienced. Like, I mean, I was a teen when I remember going through that. Now, okay, so with what you said, though, how do you – because I think one thing – there's always a – I hear from lots of other places, and I like to get your thoughts on this, where – you know, we may have had our experience when we were in prayer. It was that one song, or it was a certain, you know, novena. It was a certain experience. And I remember hearing that there's like a caution that if you go into desolation, that, you know, just because, like, if you're trying to re-sing that song, like, it won't, oh gosh, what's the word? Like, it's not that it's not going to work, but that it's almost like you're trying to relive those moments, but reliving the moment won't necessarily bring about the consolation. And like, it's almost like a caution where, yeah, desolation is real, desolation happens. We can get out of desolation to think about those moments that were moments of consolation, of peace, of knowing how God was working in our life. But I do know that there's like this caution that, you know, just because you play that song again won't necessarily bring back the warm fuzzies. It won't necessarily bring back, like, what are your thoughts on it? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
well, I mean, the first thought I had was about so part of what we're touching at here is the rules of St. Ignatius of Loyola for discernment of spirits. That's the actual teaching that we're kind of talking around or talking with. And so I was immediately thinking of some of Ignatius' rules, in particular, which they're not to quote Pirates of the Caribbean, but they're more like guidelines, not rules.
Like,
we hear rule and we're like, wait, what? I got another set of rules to follow? Like, no, that's not what these are about. Like, these are about providing you with kind of guidance and direction in the like spiritual life.
Principles.
Yeah, best practices, that kind of thing. Or like these are things that Ignatius learned through his own experiences, through accompanying people and through reading about the lives of the saints. And that's how, and through revelation, that was how he kind of came up with these teachings that have now become kind of building blocks for spiritual directors. And those that accompany people in the spiritual life, it's become a guideline for helping us to know like what is of God and what is not of God, what is consolation, what is desolation, and ways in which we can move in and out of those things. So one of Ignatius's rules in that is that he tells us to draw strength from the consolations and to actually store them up in our hearts so that at times of desolation, we can pull from those consolations, kind of like a deep well and a pool that can refresh us and renew us in the desert. So even though we may be walking in the desert, we can hearken back to that well and draw water and strength from there to be able to keep going. And so, but I also think it's important to clarify, like in the story that I was sharing about the teen that was looking for consolation, it was not until he basically let go and started seeking the God of consolations, not consolations of God, that he was actually able to receive that consolation that God wanted him to receive. So sometimes we can go after, like, especially in the world of like pleasure that we kind of live in, where the world is very much about like doing what feels good, doing what, you know, makes you happy. And so like we live in this kind of hedonistic society that is kind of teaching us that. And so sometimes that can translate into the spiritual life and that we just want to go from consolation to consolation to consolation to consolation. And so we start seeking those consolations rather than seeking God. And if that happens, we're going to experience, you know, a period of desolation because God, in his great mercy, will permit that in order to draw us back to him, because it's not about the consolations, right? It's about the God of consolations.
Yeah. So I'm glad you said that. Because this is something else that I would normally kind of mention to people too. So, you know, in talking about consolation, desolation, once I presented it to them, then I'd be like, okay, do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder just to show you something real quick? They're like, sure, okay. And so I'm like, okay, imagine the Lord is sitting right here, right next to you. You know, we might be sitting down, whatever, wherever we were at. And I'm like, so he's right here with you. God is always with you, right? I'm like, right. I'm like, so consolation is this. And I'll put my hand on their shoulder. And I'll say, so this is a moment of consolation. Like God's hand is on you. This is the warm fuzzies. This is you experiencing him. This is that great experience. Now, desolation, you know, everything that we mentioned what desolation was? Yeah, okay. So desolation is God now pulling his hand away from you. And then I'm like, but notice I'm still here. Like God is still here, right? Well, yeah. But now he's just, all he's doing is just pulling his hand away from you. And I'm like, but he is still here next to you. And then I begin to say, like, desolation is this moment of maturing. It's a maturing process because the Lord is saying, okay, what's more important to you? Like, is it the warm fuzzies? Is it the consolation that you're seeking? Like, do you want the gifts? Because consolations are gifts. Like, is that what you're seeking, or are you seeking him? And so the act of him moving his hand, he's saying, okay, what's more important to you? Are the gifts important to you, or am I important to you? Like, what is this relationship? And it's in those moments of desolation that we have to then make that personal decision to pursue him, to seek him out, even though we don't feel it.
Right.
And it's, you know, and that's what love is. You know, when you get married, when you're in a relationship with someone, yeah, you have those warm, fuzzy honeymoon stages. But then there are days that you really are annoyed with the whole world and with your loved one. You do not want them in your life. And yet you still do the good thing, even though you don't want to, even though you don't feel like doing it. And I tell the teens, you know, a parent doesn't want to get up at 3 a.m. in the morning to feed their crying child. Like, they want to go to sleep. That's why they fight. You go feed him. No, you go feed her. You know? And so, like that parent at that moment does not want to get up. Like, they would rather be asleep. And yet they do something. They sacrifice.
There's an act of will.
To choose the good, to love someone, to do the good thing for that other person, even though they don't feel anything. I'm like, that sacrifice, like, that volitional decision of pouring themselves out, where they're not focusing on themselves. Like, that is love. That's what Christ did on the cross. Mm-hmm. And so I'll say that the moment of desolation of him pulling his hand is him beginning to say, all right, so let's start taking steps. Like, come, step towards me. Like, you make the decision. It's time to grow. It's time to mature here. And so there's like a lot of levels that are going on with desolation. And it's the Lord really calling us into something deeper, to pursue him, to be selfless, to love him. Was it Teresa of Avila? I think it was Teresa of Avila who, like, she was in desolation. And then, she had to get up for morning prayer with their sisters, and, like, she just wasn't feeling it. She was like, I'm getting tired of this. Lord, I don't even think I love you anymore. Like, I'm just getting up, and in the one morning while she's just getting up and going to prayer, you know, going with the rest of the sisters, and she's walking down the hallway, or maybe she was already sitting down, you know, she's experiencing this. It's like, Lord, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't think I love you anymore because I don't feel anything. And then she had a grace-filled moment in which the Lord said, but it's because you love me that you're still getting up, mm-hmm. and you're still coming to prayer. And it was just like this aha moment. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, mm-hmm. that's right. Like, even though I don't feel like, I still do this, you know, I'm still doing it. And it's my pouring out, my
just offering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, though, the one thing that I think we have to say, like, in cautioning, too, is that sometimes people will think about or experience God kind of taking his hand off of them. And it's not always God that took his hand back. Like, sometimes it's us that stepped away, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that it's our fault if we're in desolation, but just to kind of always be aware of that, like, you know, it could be one or the other. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, like, a lot of times I'll hear people say, like, God is testing me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's always hard on my heart to, like, hear somebody say that. Because, yes, God does allow tests and trials and things like that. But we usually miss the purpose of them. And what I mean by that is that the purpose of God kind of bringing his hand back or of allowing us to experience, like, a trial is it's not to, like, make us stronger. That's not the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. Like, in fact, like, we're God loves the weak person. Like, you know, that stronger kind of thought is more something from society than it is from the Lord. God wants us, like, to be like little children, you know, that are dependent on him.
Yeah.
So really what's happening there is God is trying to expand the capacity that we have to receive his love. Because if he's always there, if the presence, the experience is always there, like, we're not necessarily going to stretch and grow in the ways that we need to, right? Mm-hmm. And so when he brings his hand back off of us, there's a stretching of our hearts because we're in a place of longing. And in being in that place of longing, like, if wanting more, we're actually growing and being stretched in that ache. And it's increasing our capacity to be able to receive him even more fully in the future. That's the part that sometimes gets forgotten and gets missed. So if you are in that place where you feel like God has, like, taken a step back or you feel like you've walked away, it's realizing and being encouraged in the fact that if that's happening, so long as you continue to choose the Lord, you're going to grow in it. There's going to be an increase in capacity to be able to receive him. And that's a beautiful and awesome, powerful thing.
Yeah, definitely. So I remember hearing that in times of desolation, just be faithful. Be faithful to your prayer life.
Right, absolutely.
It's don't try to change things up. Don't think desolation is a time to start going at 3 a.m. adoration holy hours, you know,
like, make massive life decisions about leaving a job.
Do not.
It's, like, rule number five: never make a change in desolation.
Yeah, like, don't make any big changes to your prayer life, to anything, like, when you're in desolation, especially if you're experiencing anything like that. Just be faithful. Be faithful to what you have going
Absolutely.
On. And notice it's. In desolation, it's still possible to experience God's peace in the midst of that desolation. There can be just that subtle firmness, that subtle, like, everything is okay. Like, everything is here. You know, it's, I remember a friend kind of calling it, like, the heavy, the heavy hand of the Father, like on a child's chest, like when you kind of just feel that heavy presence there, and yet it's very resolute, it's very calming. It's kind of like that kind of peace. Again, there are different kinds of pieces. It manifests itself differently. Sometimes it's a whisper. Sometimes it's calming. Something that's a very heavy resoluteness. You know, your foot is in the right place. Like, it's, you know, the experience is different for different people, but it's possible to have desolation, peace within desolation. And consolation would be the times to kind of then look at things and like, okay, how can I up my prayer life a little bit? You know, what do I need to do now different? Like, what was the Lord showing me, and where do I need to go from here? Be some like good little practicals, you know.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, arming yourself with those anti-desolation arrows, starting to pay attention to the consolations that God's given you in your life and storing them up in your heart so that when those times come, you can turn back to Him.
Yeah. Just give him the desolation, give Him our moment, give Him our weakness, and just call Him back into that moment. And then by His grace to be brought into that freedom, that peace. And
to just rest in Him.
Yeah, just to rest in Him. That was really good. Should we pray?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank You for the many blessings You bestow upon us. We thank You for all that You've given us. We thank You for those moments of consolation. And dare we pray, dear God, thank You for those moments of desolation, those moments that You're calling us into something deeper, a deeper stretching, a deeper maturing. Dear Lord God, just allow us to see Your goodness, Your grace, Your truth, Your beauty, that we may continue to walk with You all the days of our life.
Lord, increase our capacity to receive You and increase our capacity to be able to love like You do.
We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.